And I've been in relationships in the past where it's like, listen, we're not putting forth the effort that it's going to require for us to get over this hill. We need to ask ourselves, are we really that focused on getting over this hill? Or do we kind of need to reevaluate what's going on here? Because this isn't even the biggest hill that we're going to face. We got mountains coming. So for me, it's just being understanding of that and just being able to provide that stability in order to have a long-term relationship that really goes the distance. I worry about that a lot. That's something that, you know, I put way too much pressure on myself for. But I want to make sure that, you know, if things don't go as planned, John still kind of had a plan, whether he told you.
Ladies and gentlemen, and anyone else who is here, my name is Domino Moore, and you are listening to the Black Man Talking Emotions podcast. How many friends do you still keep in touch with? Old friends, your true BFFs, high school, college, or the neighborhood friend who you spoke to about your dreams, spoke about the future, this future. Life is truly a mysterious thing. One day, this is your homie, ride or die. Next day, you're married, living three time zones away. How many people mean enough to you that you are willing to make that call on your lunch break, stay up an hour later for that Zoom date, FaceTime them to sing their kids happy birthday, take a trip cross country just for a quick embrace? Laugh, cry, worry, debate. Is it a lot of people? Or are you too embarrassed to say? Friendships, long-term friendships. On a scale to A to F, how am I doing as a friend?
A being the best, I'm assuming, and F being the worst.
I mean, I've never wanted an F in my life, so yes.
Contextually.
Come on now. What's my grade?
Contextually.
What's my grade, Justin?
I've got to give you a B+. You've been there. You've consistently done the work. I can never blame you for a lack of effort. That has never been an issue. Maybe consistency, but effort always there and always impactful. And that's what's important.
B+ is nice.
Important to me is just making sure that the people that when they are there, you feel like they're there. But I think our relationship is, you know, it's grown over the years. It's one of the longest standing I've had. So I judge it harshly. It's not a light grade.
I understand, and I appreciate that. I give you an A-, because I want to do better than you, because you're a great guy, and you look out for me, and whenever you can, you call me, you make sure to remind me, hey, friendship is important, so you'll wake me up and say, I don't care if you're asleep, go downstairs and talk to me. It's understood, and I'm cool with that.
Fair enough.
Our friendship, of course, has been through ups and downs. I think that's any of the problems we've ever had always came from a lack of communication, period.
True.
That's with any, I think, any relationship. Lack of communication just totally smacks everybody in the face and screws everything up. But what would you say is the most annoying part of being like a cross-country friend with me? Because you've been a cross-country friend with me for a long time, from LA to Atlanta. Now you're in Dallas to LA. What would you say like is annoying that I'm not close, that you can't just come over and be like, dude, you're annoying? Like, what is that thing?
Well, the biggest problem is that one thing I've noticed with age is that I'm realizing I for sure have ADHD. Like, there's no way I don't. My brain is all over the place. I'm always thinking a million miles a minute. And that was great when I was younger and felt like I could act on all those things just as fast as I thought it. You too share this exact same issue where you are all over the place when you have an idea and you are committed. You need to do it now. Nothing else matters. And that is great when you are in college. You're one or two floors separated from each other. You're seeing each other on a regular basis. Oh, it's great. But when you're somewhere else and you realize this person has their own life, they have their own things going on, they have their own new situations, they've got new relationships and friendships and things they want to build in their career, you're on the back burner whether you like it or not. It's not to say that, you know, they're not there for you, but sometimes they're moving too fast to slow down and remember, oh, you're not right behind me. You used to be right there. You were right beside me. And it's like now,
yeah,
I'm somewhere else, man. I got to be here. I've got to be there. And I've always looked at you as the friend who got to explore and, you know, do different things and live out the dream. Because for me, I was always just making the best of certain situations. And for you, I've always saw it as like the dreamer who makes his things happen. And you kind of idealize that. You're like, hey, he's always moving. He's always doing something. When I finally catch up with this guy, it's going to be powerful. It's going to be impactful. But as you get older, you start to, you know, you start to go, maybe I need a little more of that, though. Maybe I need a little more of the consistency to know what's going on. That's probably the most annoying thing, second to just anything that you think you're better at than anyone else at the moment. Jesus Christ. There is no end to how long I'm going to hear about anything that you think you do well in this world. It won't stop.
I hope you know that our friendship is so special. That is something that you might be the only person that would ever say that. I make sure to let you know.
Yeah, I know.
It's our secret. It's our secret that I'm the shit. I hope you know that.
You go so far out of your way, it never feels like a secret. I feel like anyone, you don't know him if you don't know this.
You know what? I think what it is, because I look at our relationship, I've never looked at you like a little brother or a big brother. We're like twin brothers. I've always felt like we're the same age. I'm never sure if I'm coaching you or you're coaching me. So I just fuck with you all the time. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, it's iron sharpening iron. So I'll give it that. We've always pretty much been on the same competitive level to be better at something or anything than the people around us. And us in the same place long enough, it is going to happen.
Yeah, it happens like that. But, you know, it's nothing but love. Nothing but love. And, of course, since we started, we met each other in college. And I think things are 40 times different since college, of course. You're in the place now where you're doing your thing in Dallas. And that's kind of the same thing on my tip. If I were to reverse the question on me, it would be that I feel like you've always been on the go too. So like you say, I'm on the go. And it's funny because I'm like, you're always on the go. You're always doing different stuff. You're at a different place, like trying to discover what's your next move. So like, it's just funny that both of us kind of had the same approach on that. Like I see you and I'm like, man, just slow down. You're doing great. You're doing great. And you're like, Dominique, slow down. You need to be more consistent. it's like amazing. And that's something that comes from conversation. You know, I would never assume you would think that about me. And that's interesting that came out that way. Another question I said, have you ever felt like I was not looking out for you in a way? Like, give me an example, like, of a time that happened where you were like, yo, Dominique ain't looking out for me. I would love to know if you had a moment like that.
I don't think I can say there's been a time you weren't looking out for me. There's times where things didn't go in my favor. And as a Leo, you start to think that means they don't give a shit about you.
Yeah.
They don't care what's going on. And it's like, that's not true. Especially, again, with age and, you know, looking at what's taking place has gotten you to where you are. You start to realize, hey, you never really let me down or anything. You know, I always talk about that situation. I think it was like junior year, you moved out on me because I got sick. It was like before COVID, I had COVID, and we didn't know what it was. Dude,
but thinking about, like, when I thought about that the other day, I was like, yo, like, it really felt like COVID. The way you were talking was like, you were gonna murder me if I lived in that apartment again.
Yeah, well, it was back when West Nile was, like, becoming this topic again. And it was just like, whoa. And it's like, he doesn't have that, but he's got something, bro, and I'm staying away from that. So lo and behold, years later, I connect the dots that you'd already made a plan to move in somewhere. And I just gave you the greatest intro plan because you're like, hey, why don't you keep the apartment? I'll just get on out of here. And it's like, whoa, 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 this is our dorm. Like, we dreamt of this. We made so many plans to make this happen. Do you understand how many people we pissed off to make this happen? And you're just like, yeah, that's cool, but I'm going to piss off one more. Got the bags of dick, baby.
And that was one of those things that I totally understand that too, because I was ready to get out for the campus, but it wasn't like I was waiting for you to give me a moment. You know, I wasn't gonna just leave you like that. That's not me. But it was one of those moments where, like, you gave me that moment. I was like, okay, let me jump on this opportunity really quick, get up out of here and live off campus.
And see, at that time, I couldn't understand.
Yeah.
I, you know, you put your friendships above all. It's at that point in life where we're eating all the meals together. We're texting and catching up on everything. We're talking to all the girls together. Like, we're doing so many things consistently that it's like, we finally arrived at, we lived together. And it's like, this is awesome. And you get like one semester or like half, you know, three quarters of the way through a semester. And then you start to realize it's kind of time for you to start being selfish before the clock runs out. Mm. You got to start exploring things that are important to you before you get to a point where you kind of, where there's just animosity building because I'm not mad at you, but now a door is closed that was open.
Yeah.
And you got to start taking it. You know, there's certain friends that are not going to understand when you start to disconnect. There's going to be opportunities that only are open for you. It's like, hey, I'm glad that you're doing what you're doing, but I have to do this now. And I can't care too much about how it affects you. And I, you know, that was a lesson that I don't think I was ready to learn that early, but you know, I'm glad I learned it when I did, because when life got a little more troublesome or just picked up pace, I was able to move a lot more efficiently because I'd already understood, hey, just because people have love for you or want to see amazing things happen for you doesn't mean that they're not supposed to go after what's important to them.
Yeah.
They can still maintain that friendship with you. They can still be there for you. And it's just not fair to make them choose one or the other if you know that they've got love for you anyway.
That was a weird little area that I think a lot of people go through when they go to college, where I was in this phase where, yeah, of course, we're living in the best dorm. Our dorm was so dope. But I'd gotten to that point where I was just like,
it was like the first year it opened. No one had lived there before.
But I was to that point where I was like, I just want to live off campus. I want to have my own place. I want to actually be an adult. You know, I want a job. I want to live in Cape. And that was the summer. After that was the first summer I lived in Cape for the summer. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's that weird transition moment that every college student has. Some college students don't even have to worry about it. They just kind of got money and they could just stay off campus. But getting off campus was the next step. It was right on that border of we can move off campus. And it's, and I'm like, somebody hit me up like, yo, you trying to move off? Let me know. And I'm like, oh, I still got a room. I'm good. And then you were like, I need you out of the room. And I was like, well, let me jump on this opportunity. Like, it all just hit. And I was like, ah. So I totally understand that moment. That was a weird time in college. And of course, you know how I was in college. Like, it got to the point where you and I, we hung out every day, but then at one point it got to the point where we hung out at the parties and I would see you every once in a while, but we were mostly at the parties kicking it because I was either with the theater people or I was with the black people. And that's the only way.
Yeah, the parties changed. Exactly. Parties, there was a line because we started one way. And then I explored that even farther to the point where my name's on the flyers.
Yes.
And then I got you growing in theater and getting so deep in that, which nobody from our original scene understood what you were doing. I had an idea, but I was like, I have to see it to believe it because, like, he's never around anymore. I don't know what to tell you. So, you know, it all worked out the way it was supposed to. But in that time, it was different. It was the first time I'd ever seen anybody I was that close with connected to a culture I had no genuine interest in until they gave me a reason to have one. Mm-hmm. I was very big on my culture, my people. We're, you know, even if it's the same thing, we're going to remix it. And it's like, well, this is completely different. It's a whole different genre. And I just wasn't used to that. There was nobody that kind of walked me through that to say, like, hey, this is how this works. It's not to say your thing doesn't work, but this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm choosing. And, you know, it's not to say I'll never join you on your journey ever to support you, but that's all I'll be doing is supporting you. It's not to say, like, that's my only thing. This is just me as your friend telling you, hey, I enjoy both, but man, I'm here for you. Like, I want to support the things that I spend all these hours going at. You know, I'm spending intimate time with these people learning lines and practicing for plays and, you know, getting creative in a different way than you and I would just going to get lunch or going to, you know, hang out at somebody's dorm. Like, I need to get to know these people better. And this is becoming, you know, almost like a family in this sense. And, you know, again, I couldn't relate. You know, the family that I built was, you know, my god brother and his, you know, crew and, you know, their fraternity and all the people that came connected to that. You know, I traveled all over the place thinking I was doing something because they introduced me to that. I had to respect that somebody and introduced you to something else.
To many folks at Southeast Missouri State University, John Chester is known as DJ Chester. Outside of that, we were normal kids who were just trying to have a good time in college. We would have people to our room for Boondocks episode viewing parties. We would watch The Daily Show and Stephen Colbert every night. We would stay up late listening to music, talking about our future goals, the current state of the world, our dream women. At the parties, I was his hype man, but Chester was always my hype man in life. He pushes me by just being himself, a strong, intelligent, black, honest hustler, and holding me and himself accountable for our actions. We have to bring up the best man thing. I have to speak to you freely.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? Yeah,
here it is. Leave that, let that lay where it may.
Well, no. That's the reason why this is the thing. Like, you're one of my brothers. I firmly, if people are like, who are your closest friends? Oh, Chester, Bates, Scott. Like, you're always in that conversation of one of my favorite people in the world. And it wasn't just you. That's why I bring this up. Rehearsal dinner, there was three people that were like, well, I should have been best man. And I just wanted to know, like, because it was really hard for me. I wanted to show as much love to everyone as possible. Bates is my guy. And like I said, we're so close. He's, his wife and Bates was on the family vacation with us. And
yeah, of course.
You know, like, I just, that's my guy. And but you're my guy, too. And I love you so much. I just wanted to know, like, what was going through your brain through that experience? Was it difficult for you to be at that wedding? Like, where, like,
no,
I hope it wasn't.
It wasn't difficult to be at the wedding. No.
Yeah.
But it definitely threw me off.
Yeah.
You know, mostly because, you know, you have a certain relationship with somebody over the years. I don't allow people to get that close to me. Like, yeah, we're cool. We hang out. We can go get drinks. But I'm not telling you the things that I'm struggling with in life to that degree. You might know a little bit about it. You don't know as much as Dominique probably knows. So over the years, when you have those type of experiences and, you know, your family's becoming my family, I come over, they all, you know, they all know who I am. I know who they are. You know, I'm starting to learn the little quirks that go on in your world. You're starting to learn what goes on in mine. Once you've shared that for so many years, you don't really see a future that just doesn't pan out or paint the picture the way that you thought it would. So the wedding in general was great. It was beautiful. I was like, this motherfucker's rich.
No. And that makes me angry because you're the rich one. I'm not rich.
No. Hold it. Be a good podcast host and let me get this off. So for anybody that didn't attend this wedding, let me tell you the Cinderella story this man told. We did an entire tour with trolleys around this city. I'm going to tell you something. I was born and raised in that city. I ain't took one damn trolley in my damn life. You know why? Because I didn't know they offered them motherfuckers. I had no idea. So for me, and then peep gang, I got my new Breezy with me. And she's looking good as hell. And you got to understand, that's the ideal situation for me. Baby, I'm showing you the world. Drink. She don't know St. Louis is one of the lowest populated, lowest income driven places in the world. But she look at that homeless man and she's like, I never seen that homeless man before. And I'm like, exactly. Of course you have a baby. I'm taking you places. And she's seeing this beautiful situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, all these people, all this architecture. We're taking pictures here. We're going there. She's seeing all these things. And I'm just sitting here like, this is ideal. But something's missing. And I'm like, I feel salty. And why do I feel salty? And I'm like, it is nothing against Bates at all because I've met Bates. You've talked about Bates all the time. I just never looked at a relationship that you have being that much deeper than what we have.
Yeah.
I just never looked at it like that. And it just gave me perspective. So again, I'm salty, but I'm not so salty that I'm like, hey, we need to, you know, no, because this is your time. You know what I'm saying? That's something I had to have a conversation with my girl about. That was the first trip we ever took. First trip we ever took was to go see my boy Dom. She was nervous the whole time. Is he going to like me? Is his wife going to like me? Is there, you know, she's got all the jitters that a person would have if they're coming into your world because it's so big. The wedding's nice. There's all these people here. Where the ceremony was held was beautiful. You know what I mean? Like, it was literally like a botanical garden. Like, it just came to life. Amazing. And then everything after was great. But to realize that you're at the table but you're not at the head of that table. It's like, whoa, this is, you know, like, this is not, I'm not used to this. I come to this house, I'm family. I go here with them, you know, we're like brothers. And it's like, for once, I kind of felt like, I'm like a cousin removed. I'm not like a brother right now. But after that, after the wedding, is when I had to really sit down with myself and say, hey, you've visited Dominique. You've invited Dominique out. How much have you guys really done over the years that would solidify that place over anyone else that he was born and raised with, family's been cool with, known this whole time? You got introduced to something a little later that was much more than you expected it to be. But that doesn't mean that you are the only one to have a connection that special. And that's something I learned while I was there, hearing these stories that all your friends told and how everyone kind of looked at you like family. It starts to give you the perspective that, hey, you just got to put your arm around this guy and say you're proud of him and that, you know, everything that he's doing is beautiful. He's creating a life for himself that he's going to be proud of. His children will be proud of. His wife will be proud of. That's got to be enough, man. It can't be so much that he has to sit and just take away from his day to console you on a day where you're supposed to be celebrating it. You can't do that. So, you know, again, with perspective, I understand it. I respect it. But definitely, you know, definitely caught me slipping. I felt like I was going against Tyson in the 90s. I was like, I thought I had this. I did not have this. I was indeed slumped watching this happen. It was not what I expected, but hey. I understand that in life you gotta make the most of your decisions and make the decisions that make sense for where you are in your life versus what you just thought it would be. And that's something I've had to think about as I've grown too, is what makes sense for you where you are right now, not just to paint some picture from a long time ago and just fulfill some boyish wish you had about what you thought your life was gonna look like.
It means a lot to me for you to say that. I took everything on the chin my wedding week, and I don't think I've ever really talked freely about it. Like, I had a moment at the wedding where I was looking out and I was just kind of baffled. Like, so many people came to my wedding and was there for me. And every person on the board with me, with you, Mark, Bates, Heath, Scotty, Tommy, everybody, it was just so mind-blowing how I had built all of these great relationships, and I didn't really want to like leave anyone behind. You know, I didn't want anyone to feel like they were any less or anything like that. And I feel like that's kind of an old tradition where the best man kind of like is one above all. And everyone had been a huge significant part in my life up to that point. And the fact that everyone was there was because of that. I thought about it for a long time. I took it on my shoulders, and like, Tommy also was another one who kind of felt like he should have been up there. And it was like, I mean, I know that you just said it didn't bother you, and you rethought it. And I appreciate that. It just really, that sucked so bad for me, because I wanted to make sure you was good. I just wanted you to have a good time the whole week.
Oh, no, don't get it confused. I was good. I had a great
time. Yeah, and that's the thing.
I ate all the good food.
Yeah.
I had all the good times.
Yeah, I look at the pictures, I see everyone had a good time, and everyone talks about how much fun they had. And I have a friend who's getting married next week, and like, they literally was like, Dominique, they saw that you were wearing Jordans at your wedding, so they bought their first pair of Jordans so they could wear them at their wedding. And little things like that, where they're just like, yo, we're going to do the first dance early and get it out of the way.
Wait. Is that allowed?
What?
Are you allowed to get your first pair of Jordans for the wedding? I feel like that's gotta be a lifestyle, man.
Hey.
I feel like you gotta know what pair. Those gotta be a favorite. I don't know.
Well, you say it's not allowed, but I think if it brings people.
Well, anything's allowed.
If it brings them to the table, I think it should be allowed. Come on now.
I don't know, man. I feel like you gotta be adopted in this.
You
man.
Say that,
like,
but.
You gotta.
We
your first time wearing J's is at the wedding.
We bringing people to the tabletop.
No.
I'm just saying. And when people come to the table, you feel like, you know, like you're the uncle who's like, man, look at my boy. You know, look at my boy out here living his life.
Yeah, but are you new to this or are you true to this? Which one is it? You gotta pick one, baby. I mean, you just got here. We've been here. I've been holding the same cup for quite some time, player. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody around here know that's me. That's how I get down. That's not how you get down. We're going to see you in a new light today.
We'll see. And that's what better day to be new you than on your wedding day?
I'll give it to you. I'll let you have it.
Time doesn't take away from friendship, nor does separation. Relationship talk.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a relationship talk. Yeah. And of course, first question, I'm so happy for you and your girlfriend. I'm going to ask you about past relationships.
Okay.
And of course, present relationships too.
No, of course.
We've had so many conversations about this topic, and we usually reach out to each other about the hard stuff. Mm-hmm. But what would you say is the number one lesson you took from your last relationship into your current relationship?
That's a great question. There's so many lessons. So it's like to pick one is like, that's the one above all. Well, and it's like, I'm not trying to.
No, don't do that. Go ahead and just tell me how, like, give me some examples then. Like, I want to just, because like I said, I know I, of course, was with you in that. I understand all the things that went through that. You were with me through one of my big breakups.
I will be very transparent.
Okay.
You are, to this date, the reason that relationship is done. You are. And you know you are. And it's one of those things, maybe that's the eighth sip of this crayon apple vod that I've got going here. But I'll keep it very real with you. You are the reason. And not to say you planted some seed of doubt or anything of that nature. The only thing that I mean by that is that there was a very important conversation that took place based on things you had not only seen, but also heard. And it's not just today. It's things leading up to there, you know? And I had to understand for myself what I require. And after talking to you about, okay, well, this is the things you enjoy. These are the things that you can't get enough of, but these are the things that you struggle with. Are you able to figure that out with this person? And if you are, why haven't you done it already? And you know, the breakup didn't happen right then. It didn't happen even a week, a month after that, but it was the turning point where I started to ask myself, hey, do you have what you need to be successful for the future? And I told myself, you don't. You have plenty of effort. You have plenty of resources, but you are still missing the right pieces within yourself to make this make sense the way you want it to. And it goes back to what I was saying before, those boyish dreams of what you think your life's going to look like. You know what I'm saying? You know, the strength of two people versus one person. You're seeing it happen in real time. You know, you guys have built this, you've done this, you've tackled this, you've gone here. One thing that I needed to do after that relationship ended was really get to know myself. I went on a very large journey, you know, left the city, left the state, you know, decided to connect with, you know, my daughter's mom and figure out where they're headed. And I said, you know what, even though you guys haven't moved here yet, this is where I'm going. And I'll be there waiting in better shape than I was when you last saw me. And it took time. I wasn't, you know, engaging with a lot of people. I was cut off. I was really trying to get to know myself a lot better. And one of the things that I carried over is what I needed inside in order for me to thrive in any relationship, because Atlanta just became a lot. You know, I spent a lot of time there. I met a lot of people. I met my girlfriend there at the time, and everything just picked up. Everything was moving quickly. And while it was moving quickly, I started to even become concerned for them. Like, hey, are you fulfilled in what we're building? Because I need to know that I have that validation in my relationship to say, hey, this is moving in the right direction and we're building this together. And sometimes, even though, you know, you guys have many great qualities about yourself, you're not in a place where you can take that next step and go somewhere that you guys have never been before. You're circling familiarity. And with where I am now, I've already built a lot of what I needed inside to have a stable platform as we build on top of it. And I needed to be with someone who understood that. And I just felt like, hey, we got growing to do and we're not going to be able to do it together. And that was probably one of the smartest decisions I made, because having that conversation with you stemmed from that. Like, hey, I know that you're, you know, you got a lot of the things you say you want, but do you have all the things you say you need? And I had to answer that. You couldn't answer that for me. You couldn't go in and say, hey, from this 5 seconds I saw, this doesn't add up. No, I had to sit down and take a very important look in the mirror and say, hey, where are we going with this? And if this is where we're going, do you have everything you need to get there? And I did. And I had to be honest with myself about that. I had to be honest with my partner about that. And after, you know, long discussions, we decided, hey, let's just be friends. We'll figure things out for ourselves separately. And we both moved in our own different directions. And when I started this new relationship with somebody, it was big on us coming together to understand, are we able to provide for each other what we're going to require to take this somewhere that we both want to go? We already had some of the same, you know, likenesses about each other. We enjoyed some of the same things, but we had a lot of things that we wanted to grow together in. And, you know, we've put that to the test and it's been going great so far. So that's essentially where I'm at.
I remember where you were. You felt like you were lost in the relationship. And when I left Atlanta, I wasn't sure if you were going to break up, but I knew that you had a lot of thinking to do. I knew you had a lot of ground to cover. And for you to be where you are now, I'm just so happy because it's been great for you. I know it's been a good move for you. I know that it's a little different in Dallas being further away from people and not really knowing too many people, but I mean, you found that person and that's pretty dope.
Yeah.
You still keep in touch with the exes or any of your exes?
No, I did my best, but I also had to understand we just got different personalities, man. It's a lot of history there. And again, shout out to anybody that's friends with exes. Because again, I've grown enough to understand that you can be friends with whoever you want to be friends with, man. And you can make those things work. Sometimes you'll get a better friendship than you ever would get a relationship with somebody. But for me, like after the door is closed, I'm like, hey, I wish you the best, but I got to wish it from afar. Because, you know, again, ADHD, I got to stay focused, man. It's already hard enough. You popping up a little too much is going to throw me off of what I'm trying to get done and what I'm trying to focus on. And I need to make sure that I'm in a good place so that I can move forward. Not to say it could never happen in one day, but highly unlikely. And I want the best for them still. Like any ex I've ever had, that's how I've looked at it. But I know everybody's not always on the same page as that. Some people are like, they're dead. Don't talk to me. And then there's some where they're like, that's my best friend now and you need to accept them or we can't work. And it's like, hey, listen, I'm not on either. I don't want anyone to die. I also want everyone to, you know, do what you need to do for your own betterment. But I'm in the middle. I think it's easier to close the door, but if it's worth fighting for to keep the friendship door open, go for it.
Like I was saying this the other day, I have a variety of different people that I was very close to. And I mean, you've met all my ex-girlfriends. You were, except for my very first girlfriend, you met every girlfriend.
I've that was a little early.
A little earlier than that. But other than her, you met them all and each breakup was very unique and different. But there were certain people who I still can reach out to and contact. And I, like you said, I'm just a different type of person. I'm very lucky in that sense that I can, you know, I can support and see them and not feel some type of way about it. And I'm not going to say it was always like that. You know, when I first, I mean, you were with me when I broke up with Megan and that whole thing was all what it was. It was early high. I felt like it was, I was still in high school because she was my girlfriend from high school. And I felt like a lot of our interactions after that breakup were very much high school-y, upset. Ooh, she's with someone else. That's the only girl I ever had those kind of negative, they're dating someone else, kind of emotions towards. And it is a different universe now that I'm older and can actually step away from that. What about yourself? What do you think you're working on most when it comes to relationships from your point of view? Like, what are you doing to make yourself better within your relationship?
Really trying to be more understanding. You know, I've always been somebody that I thought to be relatable, but, you know, once you're in a relationship long enough and you've gone far enough, you start to realize you don't agree on everything. And that has to be okay. You can't think that your answer is the right answer every time you have an answer. And, you know, that's sometimes difficult. And the only thing I've learned that's going to get you through that, being understanding, communicating. That's it. You can't always you can't always make it work every time just because you had good wishes. You know, I had good intentions, man. I didn't mean it that way. No one cares, bro. Did you sit down? Did you listen? And did you work together to figure out where you guys went wrong?
Yeah.
Or did you even go wrong? Those are things that are so important to me now. Again, just making sure that you're putting that effort in. Effort is everything. And I've been in relationships in the past where it's like, listen, we're not putting forth the effort that it's going to require for us to get over this hill. We need to ask ourselves, are we really that focused on getting over this hill? Or do we kind of need to reevaluate what's going on here? Because this isn't even the biggest hill that we're going to face. We got mountains coming up.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just being understanding of that and just being able to provide that stability in order to have a long-term relationship that really goes the distance. I worry about that a lot. That's something that, you know, I put way too much pressure on myself for. But I want to make sure that, you know, if things don't go as planned, John still kind of had a plan, whether he told you or not. You know,
yeah.
Things are still set aside to make sure that, you know, whatever place we end up in or whatever situation arises, we're not looking at each other confused and befuddled going, what do we do here? You know, and even if we do, I want to know that I've got what it takes to help see us through that. So that's just important for me. And I think I've watched my girlfriend say the same thing.
When I say I'm working on myself, it starts with communication always. Because I feel like when I was younger, in my younger relationships, it was the only problems I had was me not being honest or me not telling people what I felt. You know, there was never any other types of problems. I dated really cool people. I was very fortunate in a lot of scenarios where the people I was with were very understanding and had a good head on their head. So any problem that was created was mostly because I wasn't being fully honest in communicating my feelings. So the older I've gotten, LA really did that to me. Being in Los Angeles, trying to date them people out there really beat me up. Trying to figure out,
you were not having an easy go of it.
It was a lot of weird stuff going on in Los Angeles. And going through that, sitting up nights by myself, trying to figure out what the next move was, working on my craft. I just got to a point in college. I actually got to this point, but LA really extended it where I'm like, I don't want to lie to anyone about anything ever. I want to be as honest as possible. And people who don't allow me to be honest just aren't the people I want to be around. And you're like, how can someone allow you not to be honest? I have friends that I cannot tell them how I truly feel about scenarios that they're in. You're not one of those people. I knew comfortably.
Yeah,
I knew comfortably I could tell you how I felt about that girl and that you wouldn't look at me like you a hater and not talk to me anymore. I have other friends that I can't do that with. I have other friends that I know that if I told them how I truly felt about their significant other, they more than likely would just cut me off or stop talking to me. So I don't tell them.
Yeah.
Even if they ask.
Yeah, that's the easier way to do it. But also, maturely speaking, that is kind of how it has to work with certain relationships. Every relationship is not meant for you to give this, you know, crazy level of, you know, dire honesty. Like, I've got to tell you, I got to cut you off at the knees for you to understand what I'm trying to say.
But with that being said, I refuse to allow that to be my relationship with my future wife. I can have I can have that with one of the homies. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever, dude. You're doing your life. Great. But I did not want to get with someone that I could not be honest with. I could not look at them and be like, babe, I don't know if I like that dress today. I had to find someone that I knew was comfortable in themselves enough to tell me off. And I could tell them off. And when I say tell off, not be negative or nasty or angry about anything, just honest. Hey, I don't think this is a good idea. You shouldn't do this. I don't really know if you're really committed to what you're saying you're committed to. I don't think you should do this. You should really probably think about the things that you're doing in your job to make yourself better so that you can keep going forward. If you're not doing it, I don't think you should do this. Those type of conversations should be easy with the person that you're going to share your day-to-day with.
And they should be regular.
Yeah.
I can't say they'll always be easy, but they should be regular. They should be normal in order for you to just communicate how you feel and make sure that it's respected and it's reciprocal. I don't ever want to have something on my face and know that the person I'm waking up next to, having coffee with, doing all these things with, would just let it sit there.
Yes.
Even if it's uncomfortable, help me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm an indirect representation of you. Help me help you. Baby, if I don't look good, you don't look good. And I'm sorry. Maybe that's the Leo in me, but I just feel like if I'm off, you off a little bit because you're the one claiming me. You're the one putting me out here on display saying, this is my man, my man, my man. Well, your man is going through something.
Facts. Clearly.
And he needs to know that you going to say something to make sure that he fixes it.
Yo, man,
he gets it together.
He need to get that booger out of his nose. And if you let that right. booger hang, it's on you, fam. Facts.
Right. And so you're just telling everybody but him about how obvious it is that he's got an issue. And it's like, well, dang, that's going to help nobody.
With you having your child, Harmony, mm-hmm. it gives it a different dynamic for when you date and, of course, being in a relationship you're with. Because mm-hmm. you have to think for two people. What boundaries or rules did you set for your girl about your kid? Like, did you have anything that you were like, hey, you can't do this, or I don't want this just yet? Like, the reason why I ask is because my mother wouldn't even let Big John meet us until he proposed to her. So it's always interesting to see what other people thought with their kid towards their relationship.
Now, that's a hell of a situation. We can't meet until you propose. That's a wild one, because what if I don't like your kids? What if they're the worst thing that ever happened in my life? I've already got on one knee. Not to say you can't take it back, but baby, the ring money's been spent. But regardless of that, man, there's like no rules. The one thing I will say that was beneficial is I met my girlfriend before my child got down here. So I had time to kind of spend with her alone. And, you know, it was a lot of one-on-one time. We got very accustomed to that. And a couple months later, once we'd already made things official, that's when they got here and, you know, things started to move and kind of ramp up. So my big thing was just respect. And that's a two-way street. There's certain things I don't play about. There's certain things you don't play about. I don't ever want my kid to feel like they're in a worse situation because you're around. And I just want them to, I want you to feel safe as well. If you ever feel like you're not being respected. Now, remember, she's a 12-year-old. So, you know, I remember that stupid shit I was doing at 12. So, you know, please, you know, let's not focus too hard on that. But let's always make sure that we're just being respectful to each other and that we are always just being open as far as what needs to happen. If you don't feel you can be open with them, just be open with me. There's no super big boundaries or anything, you know, because again, if and when we go the distance, you know, that dynamic will change even more. So I want them to get comfortable and I want you to get comfortable, and I don't expect that to happen. That's something that's going to take trial and error, that those long conversations, the communication, you've kind of got to go backwards. Kids keep you young. So as you try to get older, you start to remember, hey, what was it like when I was 10, 12, 14? Because you're going to need to apply that right now. They're thinking the same things you were thinking, if not worse, because our society is trash right now. So they have more access to it and they're seeing more than what you saw at that time. They're going to need you. There's going to be things that they emulate in you. And I want to make sure that I'm next to somebody that if they emulated what they saw in you, I'd still be proud.
Once again, I want to thank you for listening to the Black Man Talking Emotions podcast. This has been such a thrill to have so many people reaching out and actually relating to the stories that we've been telling. I look forward to doing more episodes, and I have some fun ideas for different things that I will be putting out throughout the year. I hope you've enjoyed the poems. I usually take this time to promote some of my music, but you can hear some of that behind me right now. I just ask that you go check out my website, domlamore.com. I have a merchandise section on my website. Be nice if you went ahead and supported that. I have CDs, coffee mugs, t-shirts, you name it. It's on the website. Once again, that's domlamore.com. Where you can get anything and everything. Dom Lamore. You and your pops had a relationship that was interesting, and I never met my father, but grew up and was blessed to have a dope stepfather in Big John. How important was it to you to be different towards your child from the things that I remember you speaking about with your father?
I mean, I wanted a night and day difference, to be honest. Again, my parents were older, so my dad was, I think, 11, 12 years older than my mom, and they are, you know, I think there's, I'm trying to think of how far that gap is. It's like a 30, 40-year gap between our age groups, so I didn't have the 20-year difference, the 25-year difference, you know, it's far. So what I remember growing up is a lot of old school mindsets on things. You know, you're hearing people's reactions to things that are changing in the world and how they're just not going for it. They're having to be dragged along into this new world, into this new society of how things operate. And I just realized, like, hey, we're not really having an easy go of this. We're not really relatable to one another. Like, the only thing we share is sports, and you like it more than I do. I feel like I have to like it because you like it, because if I don't connect with you there, then that really narrows the window of what it is we're going to talk about. So for me, raising Harmony, a big thing that I've tried to do is just be more open. She, you know, her mother and I were never in a full relationship, so it's always been big for me to kind of wrap my arms around her and let her know, hey, whatever you need, I'm here. Whatever you want to talk about, you can talk about it. Whatever doesn't make sense, your dad's going to unpack it for you and help you figure that out. You don't have to do that alone. And, you know, for me now, it's just been, it's been rewarding to see what's going on. You know, even with the differences that I've noticed between, you know, her living with me full time and how it was before that, you know, now she's getting straight A's. And it's like, okay, we hadn't seen straight A's yet.
Yeah.
Okay, now she's, you know, she's killing the vegetables. She's killing the responsibilities. If you ask her to do things, she's on it. You know, there's differences that I see that remind me of my childhood without the methods to the madness. There's not a lot of yelling. There's some here and there. I'm giving this gentle parenting thing a try. I'm doing my best. Yeah. But, you know, again, I'm raised by old school parents. You get to doing too much, they're getting loud, they're grabbing things, they're grabbing you. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I made a mistake. Darn me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I try to make sure that with her, she feels that sense of security. Like, hey, if my dad's involved, it's going to be okay. Even if he's hard on me, even if, you know, he is always hell bent on making sure I'm where I'm supposed to be, I know that telling him is better than it is to try to go out in this world and figure it out by myself, because that was something I went through. You know, the moment I got the chance to get out the house, I got out. You know, I moved back for, what, a year, year and a half. And even then, I never wanted to be there long. And I got out of there as fast as I could, for better or for worse. And I figured it out. So kudos to me for blowing through all my money and, you know, going out into this world and trying to chase down every stupid dream I ever thought of. But it taught me lessons that maybe I wouldn't have had to learn the way I did had I had a better relationship with my dad. Maybe, you know, we could sit down and discuss things and make sense of things together. This world didn't really give me solid answers on. And even hanging out with your stepdad, you know, Big John may be your stepdad, but he's your dad to me.
Yeah.
And I love talking to your dad. He's super easy to get along with. He's very chill. He loves the camaraderie of it all. He enjoys having you guys together. And that's something that's important to me. That's something that I've always been, because, you know, my grandfather, before he passed away, he was just like that. You know, he built up this huge deck in his backyard. He, you know, he had an open door policy. Everybody comes over. Everybody watches the fight. Everybody, my wife's cooking. We're going to throw, you know, little parties and stuff downstairs. It was a big community vibe. And your dad is very much like that. And that's something that I've always appreciated about hanging out with you, is I get that sense of familiarity with him where, hey, this is my house, but hey, you need a place to stay, you let me know. You want to crack open a cold one and talk? Let's do that. Or if you just want to be up here while I'm barbecuing, you can do that too. That's important stuff, man. And it's something that everybody doesn't have. And the farther that we get into this world and you start to learn more people and you meet those weird people where it's like, man, what is wrong with you? What is going on? You start to just realize that stability isn't there. And it's not to say you need this active father to have it, but you start to learn those pieces that means so much to them in their life. When they're stable, that's where their peace sometimes comes from. That's where their outlook on things comes from, is that person built them up and helped them to empower themselves. And that's something I want my kids to always know. You know, she'll never know my granddad, and that stinks. But I can always remember to put her around the things that brought light and love into my life and recreate those things for her, so that she always has those stories for her children or her friends or whatever she grows up to do in life. She'll always emit that positive energy that I've always tried to bottle up and keep close to me, whether it was through, you know, the girlfriend that I have you around, or, you know, the places I take you or the friends that I have. I want you to see that your dad always prioritized bringing together the best of himself and other people so that we can celebrate that together.
With Big John in my life, I agree with you. He's, of course, the pops. And I think with the stepfather dynamic, the one thing that's been dope for me is kind of watching him mold into our family, where, you know, he had his family and they were very different than us. His family was completely different than us. But now...
In what way? I never knew this.
I mean, you know, like, there was like, I remember we met his grandmother before she passed away. And so we would go over there a couple of times. And my mama was like the reason why we would go over there. He would go say hi every once in a while, but he never really saw her, you know? He didn't, the only people he was really close with was his mama and Butch, of course, and Carmen. But there's so many people in that family that I feel like we wouldn't see if Big John hadn't gotten used to like being with us, where we always see our family. You come over to my mama's house, there's always someone from the fam there. And it wasn't like
that. And I'm used to that,
you know, Big John has a sister that lives in New York that you've never met. And I don't think you'll ever,
I don't think
you'll ever meet her. And that's kind of one of those things that they just weren't as like, hey, we need to hang out this weekend kind of thing. Will, my Uncle Will, you know, that Big John and Will are close. So you'll see Will more than anything. Mm-hmm. But that was one thing I think he kind of gravitated towards with us. You know, he came over and, you know, when he moved in with us and we had the house, Hurl was always there. And then, and Van was always there, and Audrey and all of our family was always at the house. Our cousins was always coming over. And I felt like that was just something he got kind of used to the point now that when we go home, he's excited for the whole family to be home. That's something that he didn't really do before he got with us. And I love that because not only did I learn from Big John, I feel like he learned from us. And that's something, I mean, I guess every father son dynamic kind of gets that, but it was just really cool to be able to see it in real time. Most father son dynamics, you know, start when they're kids. So I wouldn't remember a lot of the stories that he learned from me, but I kind of watched him adapt to things as I adapted the things with him. And we created our bond through, you know, getting to know each other instead of him raising me and being like, all right, you're my son kind of thing. Which is really dope.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's anything that you're doing bad as a parent that you want to improve in? Like, do you feel like it's hard? Like, I'm sure it's hard. I want to hear it vocalized. I feel like we hear these stereotypical things that all being a parent's hard or having kids is hard and this and that. Like, tell me why it's hard.
You know, this is the first year of my daughter actually living with me. Well, this is the first year we've done this. And then the year before that is the first year we've ever lived in the same city. Just because her mom stayed in St. Louis, I was always all over the place trying to figure out what I'm doing with my life. And, you know, I felt super guilty about that. So it's been hard to connect sometimes because you are feeling like you're chasing something that doesn't make sense. Because their foundation is built on something that you weren't always there for. You got bits and pieces of it. You saw each other. You talked on the phone here and there. But, like, you were more the fun dad and not the I'm here all the time dad, or I'm the, you know, I'm the parent's parent. I pick you up, I go to the PTA meetings, and I, you know, you're just not, you're not that person. So sometimes now it's like, you got to be that person. You don't have the comfortability to just let someone make a decision and inform you. You're figuring it out, buddy. You better roll your sleeves up and make it happen. That's one of the big things that's hard. And also, you know, again, I had a child a little bit earlier, so she's about to be a teenager this year. That's difficult because I'm 33. And for me, I just never looked at 33 as that old. But it's like, man, you don't really notice the difference in age differences until it's like I'm 33 figuring things out. I look like one of the younger parents coming to, you know, all these meetings and doing things. And it's like, you've got to sit here with a 12-year-old and like explain to them, hey, this ain't what you think it is. Like, I know that you want to believe it's this way because of how, you know, your mom might have raised you or what you guys might have been exposed to with other family members or friends, but this is what it actually is. And sometimes that's a hard conversation to have. It's easy to just let somebody else kind of guide it and tell you, hey, here's how it should be. It's different when you're in the driver's seat going, hey, you got to understand why I'm doing the things I'm doing right now, because they're going to help you. And I've learned to just kind of put her in position and let it go from there. Put her where you want her to be and then just encourage her to stay there. And if she starts to make different turns or directions than you would have done, let it happen, but at least make sure that you give her the guidance when she looks over and goes, hey, am I doing this right? That's something that I never really felt like I had much of. I had, well, again, older parents who were very big on like, you got to do it my way. So I got real good at doing it my way and making you think I was doing it yours. And it would just blow up in my face eventually, but I was only doing that because I felt like I had to. Whereas now she kind of has the availability to do things in a way that she thinks is the right way. Like for me, I was big on, oh, well, you got to be good at sports. You got to be this. And she has almost zero interest. But she'll sit there and draw all day. And she'll get better and better and better. And it's like she'll do that with almost anything she cares about at the time. And that's what I want to encourage for her. Do more with what you got. And if you need your dad, just know he's going to push you. He's going to be there for you. Because these things will make sense later. They're not going to make sense at 12. Maybe they'll make sense when you accomplish something like, hey, I got straight A's. Well, why did you get straight A's last year? Oh, well, this was different. And that was different. And that. And then it's like, oh, so I've changed the layout for you. And this is what happened. And sometimes that's how you build that trust. You don't always build trust from being there always from day one. You build it from making an impact in their life and making those changes.
We've gone through all this. We've had all these questions. We hit on some really great topics. All I want to know now is, how do you feel?
I feel good, man. I feel like a bond has been strengthened today. That's what I'll say.
Cheers to you, man.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for listening to the Black Man Talking Emotions podcast. The friendship quote credit goes to Tennessee Williams, and shout out to Chester for being on the pod. Follow John at JONCEE Visuals on Instagram, where you can see a lot of his art that he does. He's a photographer. Fantastic work. Please subscribe to the podcast and give us a good rating. 5 stars, please. And thank you. Also, tell me your stories about these subjects at DOML_AMOUR on Instagram or at domlamour.com. I'm Dom Lamour. Much love.